Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just lift our hands and let's praise Him right now, would you? Let's love the Lord together. God, we magnify You. We love You, Lord, and we appreciate Your
hallelujah,
Spirit, God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Your Holy Ghost. Thank you.
There's such a beautiful spirit here tonight, and I'm just expecting great things to happen in the Lord. And I want to give honor tonight to our national chairman, Brother Don Johnson, to the executive board and the general board, and all the saints of God that are here tonight. Above all, I want to give honor to Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of my faith. Let's give Him a hand praise. Would you do that? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. You may be seated for just a moment. I was sitting in my seat in the auditorium before service began, and there was a dear friend of mine, Brother Johnny Dixon, said something to me that really touched me. He said, "Preach like you used to preach when you was a kid in the backyard." And I know that several probably, no doubt, have done that. And I remember preaching with me and my younger brothers. We would get together and we would take the basement of the home that we lived in. We'd sweep off the dirt floor, and kind of all sweeping the dirt floor off, but we swept the dirt floor and get it ready for church. We went out into the community, and we just brought in every kid that we could find to have church. And I remember one time we had about 20 to 30 kids in that basement, and we went upstairs and said, "Mom, I've got to have some pie pans." "What do you need pie pans for?" "Well, I've got to make a tambourine, and I got to make some music down there. We're going to have church down there." Of course, she gave it to us. And I went back downstairs, and one of the children had brought their grandmother to the basement of this little church we was getting together. And so I ran back upstairs and said, "Mom, I've got to have some envelopes." "Well, what do you want envelopes for?" "We've got an adult down there, and we're going to take up tithes and offerings today." And we did just that. Somebody put money in one of the envelopes. And when we found out that they put money in the envelope, we dismissed service and went to the grocery store. And we were playing church. We were playing church. But you know, there comes a time you got to quit playing church. Praise God, you got to quit playing church and start being serious about this thing. How many serious about your relationship with the Lord? Oh, thank God, thank God. I tell you, the beautiful spirit here tonight. I'm going to ask my wife to come. We're going to sing tonight. And she doesn't much want to do this, but we're going to sing a song and try to get amen broke loose here in just a moment. But I feel, amen, like preaching tonight. I really do. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. And I believe that if somebody puts your faith in God, we're going to have a great time in the Lord around here tonight. Somebody needs to get the Holy Ghost. Somebody needs to pray through to victory. And I want you to worship the Lord. I don't know if you know this song or not. It's kind of fast beat in the key of F. It's entitled, "It's Not Just Another Church." Aren't you glad you're in the church tonight? Amen. Let's give them another hand clap, would you? Praise God. Well, there's a church you can go. There's many down the road. They say take your choice. Anyone will do. So I've made my choice today. I'll go where they kneel and pray. That's where God is. That's where I want to be. Well, it's not just another church, another altar. What should be the altar I will find? Well, it's a place where God's Spirit must prevail. It's a special place where joy I cannot bear. Well, it's not just another church, another altar. What should is the altar I will find? It's a place where God's Spirit must prevail. It's a special place where joy I cannot bear. Oh, this world is modernized. We love the preacher's heart when they tell us we're okay in our own way. Well, it's a good life to live by, but not so good to die by. I'm going to the church I'm sanctified. Oh, it's not just another church, another altar. What good is the altar that I'm by? It's a place where God's really not prepared.
special place of joy I cannot share. Oh, this world is modernized. We love the creature's life. We may tell us we're okay in our own way. Well, it's a true life to live by, and that's no fear to die by. I'm going to the church, God sanctified. Oh, it's not just another church, another altar. What good is the altar without the fire? It's a place where God did not prevail. It's a special place with joy. Oh, let's sing it one more time. Oh, it's not just another church, another altar. What good is the altar without the fire? It's a place where God did not prevail. It's a special place for joy I cannot tell. Oh, it's a special place for joy I cannot tell. Well, let's just magnify him right now. Thank God for the church. Oh, thank God. Just remain standing if you would. I'm glad I'm part of the church. Of course, the song says, what good is the altar without the fire? Thank God for the fire that I feel in this place this evening. I want to say to the pulpit committee, I am honored tonight to be here. I really am. I appreciate the invitation. And I know that the Lord is still on the throne and He still has all power, and that there's nothing impossible for someone that'll believe God. Amen. There's somebody here tonight that God wants to give you a miracle. And if you know the Lord, you can't separate God from miracles.
That's right.
They go together. They go together. I would like to bring your attention to the book of Ephesians tonight. And I would like to read in this chapter 3, beginning at verse number 14. Then I'm going to the book of Isaiah chapter 40 and read to you one verse of scripture. But I'd like to read tonight from Ephesians the 3rd chapter, verse number 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. In the book of Isaiah, the 40th chapter, I'm reading to you verse number 29 through verse number 31. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I would like to use for a thought this evening a call to greatness. A call to greatness. And I am not long-winded, so don't get worried about that tonight. I promise you I'm not long-winded. But I do want to preach what I feel from the Lord. I think it'd be great, everybody. Let's pray that God will anoint tonight. Would you do that? We need it, Lord. We need it. We need it, Lord. We need it. God, grant it tonight. Give us, Lord, that anointing. He come to Mahashandoro Bohosanda. He out of Mahashando. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You may be seated. The Lord bless you. Amen, tonight.
In the book of Isaiah, the 40th chapter, I'll not go into a lot of details about this chapter, but the words of our text in Isaiah, the 40th chapter, verse 29 through 31, are words of encouragement to a people who had been enslaved, a people that had been bondage, but now the time has come that they have found their liberty. They have been set free. And this presented a great opportunity to Israel. They now have the opportunity of going back to their homeland. They're going back to where they love. And Israel is now faced with a task of rebuilding a nation. But in the midst of Israel's new circumstance, in the midst of this new adventure of going back home and rebuilding something again, there comes from God a message of encouragement. Thank God for encouragement tonight. And it's found in the first and second verse of the 40th chapter of Isaiah. And he says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her welfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. In the midst of this new adventure, God lets them to know that He's going to comfort them, that He's going to watch over them. I thought as I began to think about Israel and their new task of rebuilding themselves, I thought that it's never an easy task in the reconstruction of something, whether it's in the rebuilding of a life, a marriage, a church, a spiritual life. It's never easy because there is opposition that's without as well as within that doesn't want you to rebuild even yourself in the things of God. There may be individuals here this evening that you need to take on the task of rebuilding your spiritual walk with God. I want you to know that you've come to the right place tonight if that's what you desire to do, because the Spirit of our God's in this place. And He's here not to pull you down. He's not here tonight to discourage you. But I want you to know that our God is here to help you tonight in rebuilding whatever you need it is rebuilding in your life. Along with rebuilding, there comes the confusion and the fear that we often fear. And I believe that the prophet of God must have sensed this. He must have known that Israel was going to face opposition and confusion and fear. And knowing this, he begins to give them words of comfort. Again, in the book of Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number, I believe it is 27. He said, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, is my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, He fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding." Aren't you glad tonight that's the kind of God that we can lean upon? That's the kind of God that we can put our trust in tonight. I want you to know, I want to remind us tonight of the omnipresent and the omnipotent God that's inside this building right now. We're sitting here, we're not just enjoying beautiful music. We're not just enjoying beautiful, amen, testimonies. But I'm telling you, there's an omnipresent that's walking the aisles of this auditorium. And this God that's in this place has got all power to help you. I want you to know, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place tonight. Somebody needs to recognize that God's on your side tonight, and that God's going to give you a word of comfort tonight in your new adventure of rebuilding something. Let's lift your hands and magnify the Lord. Let's worship Him tonight. Oh, hallelujah to God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. As I read that verse of Scripture, many sermons and many songs have been written and preached about the eagle. And I thought how that the eagle is a beautiful symbol for God because of its greatness.
Not only is it a beautiful symbol for God, but I believe that it's an appropriate symbol for you and I that are here tonight, for the greatness in God that He wants us to have. And I begin to think about how the eagle, even though it's considered a fowl of the air, there's quite a bit of difference in this bird, because this bird is beautiful. Its regal presence, its repetition as the king of birds, its dwelling in high and lofty places, its freedom and its strength. And I felt today as I was getting ready for church, if there's something that I want to be, and I want to be that eagle in spirit. I want to have that kind of greatness that God intends for me to have. And I'm going to preach to you tonight something I feel in my spirit, that God wants us to understand. He wants us to realize that there's something that we can be in the spirit if we want to be that in the spirit. I want you to know the song we were singing about it's not just another church. I want you to know it's not just another church. It's a church of greatness. It's a church of power. It's a church that takes on that symbol of an eagle. Oh, let me tell you something, friend. Oh, greatness. It takes time to produce greatness. You can take a chicken and it can hatch its eggs every 21 days and they're ready for market from 8 to 9 weeks. But it takes up to a year for an eagle to produce. And an eagle stays in that nest, amen, for 12 long months, so that successful breeding, amen, can be taking place. Oh, it takes time to produce an eagle. It takes time to produce greatness. I want you to know that you don't start in this thing, amen, or running. I'm standing here tonight telling you that God wants a greatness in us, but we've got to learn, amen, to wait upon the Lord. We've got to learn to be led of the Spirit of God. I begin to think about how that it takes time to do all these things. I'm going to preach in a little while. Just hang on. I begin to think about the creation that God has created and its comparison, amen, to the man that God made. And it's interesting to note that in the creation, God may have spoke forth the sun, the moon, and the stars. Oh, He may have declared that the firmaments come into being. He may have declared that fish swim in the ocean, that mammals roam the land, and that the birds spit the air with their wings. But when it come to a human being, God took out the time to make him. Man wasn't just proclaimed into being. God took out the time to make something great. I want you to know, friend, that God, amen, wants greatness in His people. God wants somebody that'll just simply say, Lord, here I am. Just a lump of clay, God. But I want you to know, Lord, I want you to mold me and to make me and to shape me under the greatness that you want me to be. Oh, do you hear me tonight? I don't want to be weak in the spirit. I must be great in God, because that's what God intends. Oh, give him a hand praise right now. God wants greatness in His church. Hallelujah. It was a man by the name of James Johnson that worded it like this in a poem. He said, then God sat down on the side of a hill where he could think. By a deep, wide river, he sat down with his head in his hands. God thought and thought until he thought, I will make me a man. Up from the bed of the river, God scooped up the clay. And by the bank of the river, he knelt him down. And there the great God Almighty, who lit the sun and fixed it in the sky, who flung the stars to the most far corner of the Milky Way, who rounded the earth in the middle of his hand. This God, like a mother bending over her baby, knelt down in the dust, toiling over a lump of clay. Then he shaped it in his own image, and then into it he blew the breath of life, and man became, oh, not just a moving and a feeling thing, just another creature, but man became a living soul. God took out the time to make the greatness of man. Oh, let me tell you something else tonight as we move along about how that God Amen, created the bird, that eagle of greatness. And I read that the eagle is a solitary bird, that it's a bird that likes to dwell alone. You very rarely see an eagle and fox. It's by itself or most by two. And I thought, dear God, that's the kind of people you're looking for. You're looking for eagle men. You're looking for eagle women who are not afraid to stand alone and run alone. Amen. And do the things of God in spite of laughter, in spite of the criticism. I'm telling you, friend, in 1989, there's going to be times that you're going to find yourself alone. You're going to find yourself being misunderstood. There's going to be people that's not going to understand you, and they're going to laugh at you. But I'm telling you, God is looking for somebody that will stand up and dare to dream a dream and see a vision and walk up right before God. He's looking for somebody that'll say, if you have to walk alone, walk alone. But I'm going to be with you. I'm going to comfort you. I'm going to tell you, friend, I might have to walk alone, but I want you to know that God's going to be on my side. That God is going to talk to me. Do you hear me tonight? God's looking for somebody that'll dare to trust Him. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I'm feeling something tonight. I said, I'm feeling something here tonight. I know that the Bible even says that no man is an island sufficient unto himself. But I want you to know, nobody ever comes into a full and complete relationship with God who does not learn to walk alone with God. I think about men as Jacob. Before Jacob became a prince with God, he walked alone. Moses was by himself when God called him out of a burning bush. The greatest miracles that Elijah experienced is when they were alone. John the Baptist was alone in the wilderness. Peter was alone on the housetop when God said, go to the Gentiles. Paul, amen, that Greek learner who sat at the feet of Gamaliel, God called him and said, it's time to go to the desert, boy, and learn some things. It was John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos, alone with God, when God gave him a vision and dreams of things to come. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Being alone isn't so bad. Being alone isn't, amen, what people think it is. When you're alone with God, you're going to be in the Spirit. You're going to have power. When you're alone with God, there's a greatness that's taken over in you. I'm going to tell you, the world don't understand it. I'm going to tell you, your family may not understand it, but if you've got to walk alone with God to get power, then walk alone. Just stand alone and see God give you a miracle. Oh, let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Sometimes, hallelujah. Let's give my hand, because I feel something turning. Woo! Some little bubble, some. We've got to sometimes prepare ourselves to walk alone. Let me tell you something. There are times that God allows you to walk alone. There are times that God just takes a step to the side and says, all right, take off. I thought about the scripture of the book of John, chapter 11. The Bible said that the friend of the Lord, Lazarus, was sick unto death. And the scripture says that after they had sent for the Lord to come, that he would not come. For some reason, he just delayed it. Said, no, let him alone. We'll go later on. Finally, the word came that little Lazarus was dead. The Lord got up and said, come on, men. It's time now to go. And when they made the journey, the Lord began to talk to them. They didn't understand when the Lord said that he is asleep. They expected them plainly and said, Lazarus is dead. And the next verse is what intrigues me, because it says, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. And I thought, my God, how in the world did those men take that? I'm glad I wasn't there for your sakes. But the next portion of that scripture clears it up. To the intent that ye might believe. To the intent that you might believe. Do you hear me tonight? It's not going to be your feeling that gets you from here to glory. It's not going to be what you see that gets you to victory. I'm telling you, I'm standing here tonight. There's been times that I've been alone. And I don't know how you feel when you're alone. But I get alone sometimes. And I wonder, where are the blessings of God? Where is the Spirit of the Lord? Where is the glory of God? But I believe that God takes a step on the back. Amen. Side and says, I'm going to let you alone that you might walk by faith. That you might walk by faith. I'm telling you, what sustains me is not the shout. It's not the good music. What sustains me is my understanding of Jesus Christ and who He is. It doesn't matter if I ever shout. It doesn't matter if I ever see a shout. I know that my God is still on the throne. Do you hear that tonight? I know that my God is still on the throne because my faith tells me it's so. Oh, hallelujah. Job one time, he really got tried. You know the story. Seemed like everything come tumbling down. Everything was working against Job. Job's wife turned against him. Job's family, his friends, he lost it all. Job one time in despair, he said, if I could find the seat of God, I'd come to Him. If I just knew where He was, my complaint is bitter, but I'd come to Him and I'd tell Him what I'm feeling. And Job said, I went forward and I couldn't find God there. I went backwards and I couldn't find God there. I went on the right hand side where God does work and I couldn't find Him there. I went to the left and God wasn't nowhere around. But Job didn't give up. Job didn't quit. Job just simply said, but He knoweth the way that I take. He knows where I'm standing here tonight. Oh, let me tell you something, friend. If you pray and you haven't got an answer, if you cry I've not got an answer. Don't give up, friend. God knows where you are. God sees you, friend. And all God's trying to do is bring out a greatness in you that the world can't destroy. I want God to put a greatness in me. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Sometimes we feel like saying, how can I go on, Lord? I'm all alone. Nobody will stand with me. Let me tell you something. There's going to be times because of your convictions, they're not going to stand with you. Just walk on anyhow. Fly with the greatness of an eagle. And just say, I'm not worried about it. God's going to take care of it. There are times we feel like the challenge is too great. The opposition is too powerful. I'm too weak, preacher. I'm too powerless to go on. But it's at that moment, and it's never failed, that God has always spoken a word of assistance. Oh, as it was with Joshua, after the death of Moses, God spoke to him. Oh, it seemed like all of Israel had got to the River Jordan, and as far as they got, all of a sudden God spoke to them and said, Joshua, it's time to get up and go over the Jordan. You've been sitting around on this side long enough, but I've got a word of assistance to you. As I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. I will not fail you. I'll not forsake you. Oh, friend, that's the kind of God I'm saying. And sometimes I believe that the Lord looks at us and says, you just don't really know who it is that's walking with you. You just don't know who it is, amen, that's holding on to your hand. You just don't realize, amen, the one that's watching over you. Oh, He calls to us and says, I'm the one who calls us to be what is. Before they was a when or a where, a then or a there, I was. It was I who stepped out of the darkness into the bleakness and the blackness of chaos and said, let there be light. It was I who spread out the seven seas and carpeted the earth with grass. It was I who gutted the hills with trees and flung out the stars in the Milky Way. It was I that told Abraham to go. It was I that stopped the hand of Abraham when he was going to take his son. And the Lord is saying, hold on
church. Hold on, preacher. Hold on, saint. I'm still God, and I don't change. I still have got power. Just hold on. Woo! Let's praise the Lord. Glory. Glory to God. Glory. Oh, praise God. And while you're flying alone, trying to keep that greatness that God intends for you to have, there's going to be a multitude that's going to be watching and waiting for you to fall. Come on, they're standing on the sideline. I give you a month. I give you 6 months. Amen. Time around pastoring. There's a preacher said, I give you 2 years and you'll be gone. I've been there going on 5, and God still blessed them. They're going to wait on the sideline and say, you'll never make it. But let me tell you something, friend. God's going to take care of us the same way that a mother eagle looks after her young. And when it looks like I'm going to fall, when it looks like I'm not going to make it, the Word of God says, as an eagle that stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them and beareth them on her wings. So the Lord did lead him. They that wait upon the Lord are going to renew their strength. They're going to mount up with wings as an eagle. They're going to run and not be weary. They're going to walk and not faint. I'm going to tell you, when the eagle even takes its wings to fight, there's no storm that can stop it. I don't mind telling you, friend, too many people try to go around the storm. They try to avoid the storm. But let me tell you, when you face a storm, mount up on wings of an eagle and go through it, friend. Just press your way through it. And when you get through the storm, there's going to be a greatness within your soul that's going to keep you until the next trial. That's going to keep you until the next burden. If you'll just go through it, just go through it. Don't back out. Just go through it. God has called us to greatness. He has called us to be eagles. But there are some, because of their meanness, because of their jealousy, because of the lack of their own vision, will try to make a chicken out of you. Come on. They'll do it. I read the story. You've probably heard the story, but let me just briefly tell you the story. The man one time, the farmer, he was going along the hillside. He looked down and saw a strange-looking egg. Picked up this egg, and just so happened this farmer was in the chicken business. Took the egg back to the farm, put it in the hatchery, and that egg hatched. And that bird come out of that egg. Farmer looked at it and said, you're not no chicken, but I'm going to make one out of you. I don't know what you are. And so as time progressed, day by day, this farmer looked at this strange-looking bird that had a peculiar air about it. And he said, you are a chicken, and fed him chicken feed every day. And after a while, this bird, after being told he was a chicken so long, and after being fed chicken feed so long, was walking like a chicken, acting like a chicken, eating just like a chicken did. He lost his identity. He lost that peculiar air about him. Then a stranger come by and said to the farmer, where did you get that eagle? He said, you can call an eagle if you want to, but it's a chicken around this place. He eats chicken feed and acts like a chicken, and that's what he is. He said, did you know that God did not intend for that bird to be a chicken? God intended for it to be an eagle. The stranger picked up the bird, and he said, can I try something? Go ahead, friend. He threw the bird into the air and said, God created you to be an eagle. You're not a chicken. Now fly, now fly. And the bird flew. And when the bird began to take its flight, the old farmer took the chicken feed, threw it into the air. And when the seed hit the ground, the eagle come back to the ground and started eating like a chicken. And the farmer said, I told you he was a chicken. He said, let me try one more time. Let me try again. He said, go ahead. He took the bird and took it to the top of a barn so this eagle could get a better view that was beyond the barnyard. And as he took him up there, he said to this bird, he said, fly. You're not a chicken. You're an eagle. Now fly. And the bird took off in flight. And after a while, the old farmer threw up the feed one more time. And the eagle come back to the ground. And it began to act just like a chicken. And the stranger said to the farmer, please, sir, give me one more try. And the farmer said, help yourself. The next morning he came. He gathered that bird before the sun ever came up. He took him to the highest mountain in the region there. And when it got up there to the highest peak of the mountain, he said to the bird, I want you to quit looking at the barnyard. I want you to look at the vastness of the air. I want you to look at the clouds in the sky. And all of a sudden he said to this eagle, God told you to be an eagle. You're not a chicken. And he turned the eagle loose. He couldn't see the chicken feed no more. And the eagle went soaring through the clouds as the sun began to come up. He realized that there was a greatness in him that was beyond the old barnyard, that there was greater things than chicken feed. Oh, God didn't call him to be a chicken. God called him to be great. And that's what God intends for you to be. We're not a chicken. I said, we're not a chicken. We're God's greatness. We're God's eagle. And I'm going to fly like it. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Whew. My wife is sitting there somewhere saying, honey, please take it easy. Please slow down. Amen. The scripture. Now I'm going to preach to you just for just a moment now. We'll get out of here. Hallelujah. The Bible says that we are a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. But I'm afraid a lot of folks have lost that peculiar air about them. They've lost their identity. Oh, God, help me tonight. God never intended for his people, amen, to be a barnyard chicken. God has created a universe in the spirit. My God. He has opened up a whole world to us. And I believe the Holy Ghost is saying here tonight that you're not, amen, a chicken. But God's speaking greatness to you tonight. As I begin to think about this bird being treated like that for so long, I want you to know that we must not, God forbid, that we lose our peculiar. God forbid we lose our identity. I want you to know the Bible says, come out and be separate, saith the Lord. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Do you hear me tonight? The Bible said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can say what you will, friend. Oh, but let me tell you something. There's still a church that is without spot, that's without wrinkle or any such thing. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what men say. I'm going to tell you there's still a church that's lifting up a standard, that still have got their identity, that's still holding up a standard of righteous living before God. I want you to know, I don't want to lose my identity. I don't want to lose my peculiar air. God created me to be an eagle. God created me to walk in greatness, and God forbid that I lose it to the world. Somebody shout hallelujah. Glory. This church wasn't born in weakness. It was born in power and greatness. When this church was built, It was built to be great. It was built to be glorious. It was built to be powerful. My God, I want to do my utmost to keep it that way. We are built upon even the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell, they shall not prevail against it. I want to declare to you tonight, friend, that there's a church, even in this world, that's got power in the Spirit. There's people here tonight that you've got the power of God living in your life. You're not weak, but you're mighty in the Spirit. You're mighty in the Spirit. There's a greatness in you that the world cannot stop. It's time to press on, friend. I said it's time to march on. It's time to realize I don't have to stand a barnyard any longer. I don't have to live at that kind of environment. But God's calling me tonight and said, I'm going to take you to a mountain and I'm going to show you my glory. I'm going to show you greatness. I'm going to show you things in the Spirit. I'm going to show you my power. I want you to know, friend. I want you to know, young people, that there's a greatness that you can have in God if you just get out of the barnyard and quit acting like a chicken and realize that God has called you to greatness. Woo! Oh, praise Him. Praise Him. Come on. Sandalabo Sanda. Hallelujah. Oh, let's all stand and praise Him right now. For a moment, let's praise Him. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. Just remain standing with me just for a moment. I feel the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, let's keep our minds upon Him for a moment. Oh, God. Pray, church. I feel something. The Spirit of the Lord wants to move. Oh, God. Jesus. One day when I was lost, one day when I was subjected to a barnyard existence, Jesus came, touched my spirit. He brought me out of the barnyard of sin, filled me with the Holy Ghost, and put a greatness in me. And now I'm flying as an eagle in high and lofty places. I read an article here some time ago. I don't know who it is that does this kind of work. It said that you can take a goldfish, put it into a goldfish bowl, and leave it there for days. For days, that goldfish will just swim, swim, and swim. So after several days, you can take the goldfish out, put it into a large pool of water. For a long time, that goldfish will not leave the area of a goldfish bowl. The reason for that is because it's not realized the vastness of that great body of water. For days, you're standing in one little spot. But after a while, it finds out there's no hindrance. There's no glass there. And it goes into the vastness of the water. I don't mind telling you. I found myself doing the same thing. I don't know why the Lord laid this particular message on my heart. And I wished, and I'm not making excuses tonight, I just got out of the hospital, spent 30 days in it, hadn't been out over 3 weeks probably. And if I felt physically better, I think I'd preach another hour or so. I feel good in the Spirit. Something's got a hold of me, church. And the Lord says, get out of that little area that you're in. I've got a great big world for you. A call to greatness. Praise God. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. Verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with his might and by his spirit in the inward man. As a preacher of the gospel, I'm not preaching a weak message. I'm preaching something that's powerful. Praise God. Praise God. And I've had to get out of the barnyard and say, Lord, I'm tired of this chicken feed. I'm tired of this God. Give me something fresh, Lord. Give me a greatness, God. Let me fly. Let me soar. Let me see what it is you want me to see. Oh, God. The spirits of the devil, the spirit of hell, is no match for the greatness of God's church. And as a preacher of the gospel, it's time that we take the authority that God's given us and say, in the name of Jesus Christ. Here, some time back, I received a phone call a few years ago. The call was, Brother Atkins, would you come to the church? Would you come to my home? And I said, I'll come. And I said, what's the problem? Larry is here. He's threatened my life, and I need you to come and pray. And I went. I walked into the house, and it was just as dark. And I said, Larry, where you at? His wife come out of the corner. Said, Brother Atkins, be careful. He's got a club in his hand. He's dangerous. And I walked over, and Larry was sitting in a chair with that club in his hand. He was out of his mind with alcohol and drugs. I said, Larry, what do you need? He said, well, my wife said for you to pray, so let's pray. I said, no, we're not going to pray here, Larry. So the church is a block down the road. Let's go to the church and let's pray. Let's get a hold of God. He hesitated for some time and finally he went, him and his wife and I. We got to the church and we knelt down to pray. Nobody there but Becky and Larry and myself and the Spirit of God. After a while, Larry jumped up and doubled his fist back and swung at my face. I just kind of ducked and grabbed him. And I said, God, I'm calling on the greatness of your spirit right now. In Jesus' name, stop him. He fell to the ground like a dead man and laid there. I said, Becky, Larry needs the Lord. And we prayed. I'm not letting the devil chase me. I think it ought to be when you get out of the bed in the morning, the devil starts worrying. You got out of your bed in the morning, the devil says, oh no, another day of prayer, another day of Bible reading. I'm telling you, we got greatness in us if we use it for the glory of God. Oh, let's lift our hands and praise the Lord. Let's call upon the Lord. Let's shout. Glory to God.